All right, so our opening scriptural prayer, which will be, this will be the last Sabbath that we're going to pray from 1 John, as we will be closing up 1 John today, is from 1 John 5, 9 through 11. Lord, we receive not the witness of men, for we know the witness of God is greater. Testify to us of your Son, to believe on the Son of God, that we might have his witness in ourselves, that you, O Yahweh, Father God, has given to us eternal life, and that this life is in your Son. So in a lot of ways, that's pretty much the essence of 1 John. That's a lot of what we've been focusing on. So we are going to finish up Psalm 119 next Sabbath, not on the new moon, but next Sabbath. We'll be finishing up Psalm 119 and starting over again. So we are on Shin, which is the second to the last Hebrew letter, the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet, being there are only 22. And this is to the tune of Evan, which we generally sing Psalm 2 for, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things. So we'll give a little hum just so we can all catch the tune.
Princes, have mercy that you did me, although no cause they saw, but still of thy most holy word my heart doth stand in awe. I at thy word rejoice as one of spoil that fight sore. Thy law I love, but lying all I hate and do abhor. 7 times a day it is my care to give due praise to thee. Because of all thy judgments, Lord, which righteous ever be. Great peace have they who love thy law, offense they shall have none. I hope for thy salvation, Lord, and thy command have done. My soul thy testimony's pure, observe it carefully. On them my heart is set, and them I love exceedingly. Thy testimonies and thy laws I kept with special care. For all my works and ways each one before thee open are.
We're going to stand up for the rest for singing. So that we stand at the hearing and saying of God's word, which is an important thing to remember, considering little legs like to go weird places and dance around and do things they shouldn't do. So standing is a good thing. And it has actually been traditionally held that you always stand at the hearing of God's word. And since we sing God's word, you don't get a break. So this is Psalm 29 we have next, and then we have Psalm 31, which is only A on our agenda for singing. And I know this one pretty well. It's to Old 29th, which is from the Anglo-Genevan Psalter of 1556, as it says there. So I do know this one a little bit. And if you let me lead it, I think we can catch the tune for the first one. Give ye unto the Lord, ye sons that of the mighty be, all strength and glory to the Lord, with cheerfulness give ye. Unto the Lord the glory give, that to his name is due.
beauty of holiness unto Jehovah bound. The Lord's voice on the waters is the God of majesty. The thunder and on multitudes of waters sitteth he. A powerful voice it is that comes out from the Lord Most High. The voice of that great Lord is full of glorious majesty. The voice of the eternal doth asunder cedars tear. Yea, God the Lord doth cedars break that Lebanon doth bear. He makes them like a calf to skip even that great Lebanon. And like to a young unicorn, the mountain Syrian. God's voice divides the flames of fire, the desert it doth shake. The Lord doth make the wilderness, the Kadesh all to quake. He makes them like a calf to skip, even that great Lebanon. And like to a young unicorn, the mountain Syrian. The Lord sits on the flood, the Lord sits king and ever shall. The Lord will give his people strength, and with peace bless them all. The Lord sits on the floods, the Lord sits king and ever shall. The Lord will give his people strength, and with peace bless them all.
So whenever we don't have the remaining two lines, we generally just repeat. So as a reminder. We're also going to go to 31, another little chanty one that can sometimes give us a little bit of trouble, but Em and I practiced well this morning, so we're ready.
In thee, O Lord, I put my trust, shame let me never be. That hath redeemed
teaching us about how we are to joy, and Paul for that matter, also in tribulation, but that if you can have joy in Christ even when you're being persecuted, then you know you're a true Christian. So that's just the truth. And so, well, we have, you can be seated if you'd like. We have for our first resuscitation, and our second for this time, the Confessions of Creation, which are only two that we have here, and then we're going to put that in connection with 1 John 1:3, which has been a major point of understanding, that is the preexistence of Christ in the person of the Word and of the Son. That has been taught to us from Scripture and is not to be trifled with without great error. And then there's also the what we will have in resuscitation after that, as we have been dwelling on the incarnation of the Word, which is Jesus Christ. So we have a list of confessionals that are all concerning the seed of the woman and how that was to come, and also Mary's praise, which is done in our first person as opposed to speaking the words of Mary. Which we'll save also for the end, and then the Apostles' Creed. And so all of this is designed to teach the same lesson as 1 John. So I, with hopes, put it together so that young minds and old ones can consider the things of God which are eternal and be able to learn something from them. You know, very often that people who think that they're good Christian families forget to teach very simple doctrine. And that only holds so long that we're just a good Christian family, and I'm a Christian. Because eventually you get to an age where you hit an impasse, you hit struggles, you hit questioning, you hit problems. You don't have a good root. I'm not saying God won't bring you back to being a Christian, or maybe you never were one, and make you one. But that without certain roots and understandings, there's a lot of weird doctrine out there. I call it weird. It's outside of the Bible. There's a lot of stuff outside of the Bible that people have decidedly believed, and in derogation to the Word of God. They say, well, the Word says this, but I think it means that, therefore I know what it means, and that's how it is. And that's what I believe. And then they may come up with some real fanciful ways to try to convince you of it. And so without just believing in the Word of God and putting it in your heart, mind, and soul, you will not know how to answer. And so confessionals and resuscitations, catechisms, all that stuff is designed to put this stuff in a question-answer statement type way into your mind so that you can understand it. But more than that, on the Sabbath, it is part of convocation. And so I'm going to also point that out. There are many people, especially home churches and for people who have small congregations that don't meet in big buildings and have frequent strangers on the weekend stop in, who do not convocate. They do not actually speak together. And it took me a couple years to realize why churches did that, because I was never taught that growing up in a church, that the reason we sang together was because it was commanded in the Bible. People don't realize that it's actually part of the fourth commandment of Sabbath worship. And so that's something that I think is important to remember, to have knowledge and understanding on, as opposed to just ignoring it. Wouldn't you agree, Ezra? So this is a confession of creation. We're going to have Genesis 1 as well as John 1. In the beginning,
God created the heaven and the earth.
And the earth was without form and void.
And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
And God said, let there be light.
And there was light.
And God saw the light that it was good.
And God divided the light from the darkness. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him.
And without Him was not anything made that was made.
In Him was life.
And the life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness.
And the darkness comprehended it not. It would be pretty, it takes a lot of effort to try to say John 1:1 doesn't say what John 1:1 says. But people do it. John also fortifies that understanding in his statements in 1 John 1:1-3. So we'll also go through that as a confession of the word of life. That which was from the beginning, which the apostles heard,
which they had seen with their eyes, which they had looked upon, and their hands have handled, was the word of life.
For the life was manifested, and the apostles saw and bear witness.
And show unto us, this is that eternal life, which was with the Father, and is manifested unto us.
That which was seen and heard
hath been declared unto us, that we also may have fellowship truly, with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So that is a very important thing for us to, you know, to keep in mind. And we're going to end there with resuscitations, and we'll come back at the end to the remaining two in the historical lesson, which is our regular apostle reading of the Apostles' Creed, or an Apostles' Creed, because, well, you should believe it, and then you can be an apostle. So it's pretty straightforward. And so sixth month is coming up, and I want to point that out, because before we resuscitate the next resuscitation, which ends with the book of Revelation, most people don't recognize that the sixth new moon was the birth of Christ, according to the scriptures, according to what the book of Revelation tells us about what the sign in heaven looked like. Sign meaning the sun, moon, and stars. Those are things God made. These aren't heathen horoscope ideals or anything like that. But that in ancient times, people used the sun and the moon and the stars in order to calculate what day it was. That's just the truth of the matter. Every ancient historian will tell you that, up until times where the government wanted to take more control and create their own system. And so there are some pretty special things that happen in this month coming up. And so I'd encourage anybody to take a look at the liturgical calendar that I put out every month if they have an interest in that. And I'll talk more about this on the new moon. But you can kind of get an idea of what it is. And I wanted to mention it because of our reading of Revelation that's coming up, that you understand how that neatly and interestingly corresponds to finishing up John and studying John and John's doctrine. So that's something that I want to point out.
So we're going to turn over to Bible study, going to the book of 1 John. So we're going to have a break here, and then we will return to resuscitation. I think I probably went over time just a little bit, but it is the end of a book, so...
Well, I hope some of what we covered today in the message and have been covering in 1 John is fortified by these resuscitations, as we're going to cover today a particular focus on Mary and her sometimes for Protestants underestimated or non-talked about blessedness, I guess, is the word, because I think we oftentimes consider Mariology, and that people have gone too far with ideas like that, and so we don't even want to be confused with it. But the truth is that when you're highly favored among women, you probably should be talked about from time to time by the church. So, anyway, this is a little grouping of confessionals out of the Bible for teaching us of the seed of the woman that was to come. The Lord God said unto the serpent,
I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Next is from Isaiah 7:17 and Matthew 1:23. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall
call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This next one is from Galatians 4:4-5. When the fullness of time was come,
God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law.
Next is from Revelation 12:1-5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven,
a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pains be delivered.
And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron.
And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. So this next is Mary's praise, which is the praise she gave to God, from Luke 1:45-55. And so it is meant to be it's meant to be said all together. I see some of the wording got messed up, so don't worry about it. Our soul doth magnify the Lord, and our spirit doth rejoice in God our Savior.
For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call her blessed. For he that is mighty hath unto her great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. From generation to generation he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
Yeah. And we're going to end here with a reading of the Apostles' Creed, which if you want to, you can sit down for. If you don't, you don't have to. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, a holy called-out community, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the flesh, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we're going to end here. Brother Christian, are you up for a prayer?
God, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. Thank you for your word. For you to help us to live by your word and not by our own opinions. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, Lord. And I pray that if there's anyone here or anyone listening that hasn't truly come to knowing the gospel, that you would open their eyes, Lord, see the severity of their sin and see their need for your grace, Lord. And bless our time.